Because God is bringing us to another level, that means there's another level of death. Death never ceases. It's constant. Oh, when we think we're dead, you're alive. You know, we all ask for the fire, right? Man, we want the fire of God. Yeah, we want the fire of God. But let me tell you something. That means get ready. Get ready to be exposed, because that's what the fire does. The thing is everybody runs from the fire. But you know what? When the three men of God were put in the fire, you know anything that burned? The only thing that burned on them in the fire was the bonds. See, because they were bound. And when they got thrown in the fire, they were loosed. So everybody wants the fire of God and the power and the anointing, but nobody wants to pay the price. They want to drive through, push button. Hello, yes, give me that. No, don't work that way. There's a price to pay. That's why the Lord says that the path is difficult and narrow. And as you continue to walk with the Lord, your path is going to get so narrow, narrow, narrow to where you are so squeezed that you're producing anointing yourself. That's what he calls the wine press. Amen? It's the wine press. But the Master, the King of Glory, the King of our kingdom, and who we are citizens of, is bringing his church, his body, his citizens, through a fresh revelation of who he is and how much he loves us. Because see, one of the things that the devil does is steal the love of God from his people. He steals the love of God. And then when you blow it, it's hard to get back in position because the devil keeps telling you you're not worthy. That's deception. And you know what that is? Immaturity. The Lord wants to mature his people so that they are immovable. How many of y'all want to be immovable? Amen. Then get fired up. Then I can tell you the fire of God is going to come and refine you. Do you know that pure gold is clear? You know, when they heat it up, it's clear. It's transparent. And that's what God wants us to be, transparent, so that he shines and not you. Amen. So there's another place where he's bringing us. And he wants to bring us into the deeper places with him. Now, we've been talking about the kingdom of God and accessing the king's treasures, about being positioned and so forth. But I'm telling you, we are in such a powerful season of death. The Bible says that everything's going to be shook. And anything that's not of him is going to be shook. And the only things that are going to stand are the things of him. He's going to shake everything. And everything is beginning to shake harder and harder. That's why we see many people go back to the world. They go back to the area where they feel secure because they've been lied to. They go back to the area of money because they're secure. You know, everybody must step back because Jesus is going to start going around saying, get rid of everything. I got a plan for you. Give it up. I got a plan. Give it up. I got a plan. It's happening already. It's happening. And the refiner's fire is happening. We don't know how much time we have left, but whatever time we have left, one of the things we don't want to do is to stand before God and say, man, I could have rescued one more. I could have rescued one more. If any of you ever seen Schindler's List, that was the one thing that tormented him. Because he had all of this money and he spent it. And at the end of the movie, one of the things that hindered him so badly, and he wept vehemently. Because he kept saying, I wasted all of that money and all of that time, and I could have bought one more soul. and we don't want to stand before God and say we could have got one more. Amen? In order to become, to come in this arena where you are sensitive and you're able to discern this place, you must get deeper. This is not about a religion, it's about a kingdom. And it's about citizens of the kingdom. Amen? Remember, the Lord established and created the universe to colonize it. Because he wanted the king's desires, the king's attributes and character to be shared with his people in every area. And as we fall under the governing rules and the laws of the king and the government, that means that you and I have access to everything that the king has. Amen? But the devil will try to tell you something different. Would you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2? Hallelujah. Thank you, Master. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Glory. Oh, there's something stirring. First Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 4. Start at verse 4, please. First Corinthians chapter 2. I want to welcome everyone here tonight that's new. Hallelujah. And I want to welcome everyone that's willing to die to yourself. Amen? Hallelujah. In verse 4, would you read it with me? And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom. Everybody say human wisdom. But in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Oh man, is that prophetic. You know, I remember when I was in the world and there were people that I thought I had great wisdom. Now I realized how stupid they were, because their wisdom was nothing but carnality. They had no wisdom at all. They were not wise men. They were dumb men. They knew nothing of truth. The only thing they knew was to keep you in darkness with their wisdom. Amen? And verse 6. However, we speak wisdom among those who are what? Mature. In other words, there's a level where you must be able to understand. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor are the rulers of this age, who are coming to what? Nothing. They are coming to what? Nothing. Told you they were dumb. Man, they got all these think tanks, you know? All these men trying to think about what the next thing to do for the world is. That's all they needed to do was call. We would introduce them to the Word. Somebody needs to throw a Bible in those think tanks. Hallelujah. But we speak the wisdom of what? God in a what? Mystery. That means it's hidden. The hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for who? Our glory. In other words, there are hidden mysteries of God that was preordained for you specifically for your glory. Why? So that he would get the glory. Which none of the rulers of this age knew. For if they had known, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. Do you understand that even though they crucified Jesus, it was written in the scriptures. If they really understood the scriptures, they would have never, they would have known who he was. You know what I'm saying? They would have known. But they didn't. They were so caught up in writing stuff according to traditions of men that they could no longer understand the scriptures. They understood that fulfillment was being, prophetic fulfillment was happening right in front of their eyes. Now some did, but majority of them didn't. Are you with me? And verse 9, would you read it with me? But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who what? Who what? I want you to highlight the word love, because love him. In other words, the things that have been prepared for the individuals of the citizen of the kingdom of God who love him. Who what? Love him. In verse 10, would you read it with me? But God has revealed them to us through his what? Spirit. For the Spirit searches, highlight all things. For the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. And I want to talk about the deep things of God tonight. Now, there are some clues that God gave us here. He said, first of all, eye has not seen nor ear heard nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who what? Love him. So if you're not in a love relationship, are you going to get the impartation? No. Oh, you can play religion all you want, but if there's not a relationship, there's no impartation. Okay, let's go a little further. For what man knows the things of a man except the what? Spirit of the man which is in him. In other words, he knows the carnal things. The wisdom of the world. Even so, no one knows the things of God except for what? The Spirit of God. These things, hallelujah. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, which is what? Anybody know? There's the spirit of the world is known as the spirit of Antichrist. And what he does is keep you ignorant of the existence of the kingdom of God and keeps people in error and darkness. Amen? What is he? Let me share with you. The Antichrist spirit does not want you to get into the deep things of God. Oh, he just loves if you can just come to church, keep your seat warm. People fight over their seat more than they do over the powers of darkness. They're ready to kick butt on their brother or sister. Get out of my seat, man. What you doing in my seat? Don't you know I've been holding that seat for 35 years? Oh, blessed assurance. Years sitting in that same seat and still ain't gone nowhere yet. And we have not received the spirit of the world which puts people in bondage, but the spirit who is from who? God, that we what? Might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. So how are you going to know the things that are freely given to you by God? With who? The Spirit. Now I want to share something with you before we go forward. The Holy Spirit is the governor of the kingdom. Come on. Say it with me. The Holy Spirit is the governor of the kingdom of God. He's the governor. He's the mentor. The governor is always going to be in position to make sure that you understand the law. Hello? He's going to make sure that you're empowered. He's going to make sure of all of these things, that you're fulfilling things. He's the only one that's going to bring you to the deep things of God. He's like the cab driver. Come on, get in. People are going, huh? I'm not supposed to drive with strangers. You know why? Because they don't know him. Most people have never even been introduced to the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Verse 13, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, hello, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. And what does he do? He is comparing spiritual things with what? Spiritual. Nothing carnal. Amen? He doesn't compare things with carnality. He compares things spiritually. Oh, hallelujah. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are what? Spiritually discerned. So, the Holy Spirit is going to assist you in discerning, isn't he? Amen? Because he is the governor. Spirit searches the deep things of God only to those who love him. Only to those who what? Love him. Hallelujah. Go to Luke 11. Luke 11 and verse, I think it's 52. Yeah. Luke 11 and verse 52. Would you read it with me? Woe to you lawyers. You know, anybody see a specific word in the word lawyer? Hello? Woe to you lawyers, for you have taken away the what? Key of knowledge. You did not enter in yourself, and those who were entering in, you what? Hindered. Wow. So, the key of knowledge. Knowledge is a key. Now, you got to understand something. The Bible says something very profound. It says, and those who know the truth. Hello? And the truth shall set you free. It doesn't say that those who speak the truth, those who hear the truth. It says those who know the truth. There's something different. In other words, those who know the truth put it into practice. Those who've heard the truth, speak the truth, but don't put it into practice, do not know the truth. Because truth frees you. So you can sit in service for years and hear the truth, but never know it. Come on, are you with me? See, because when you know it, you change. You use it. You put it into practice. It's a part of your life now. It's like when you go out and buy a car. It's now a part of your life. That car is utilized every day of your life, isn't it? Man, you don't go nowhere without that car. When it breaks down, the first thing you do is go have it fixed. Amen? Why? Because the car provides many things for you, doesn't it? It provides transportation. It provides carrying things. It provides bringing people to other places. It provides you to be able to get to work to where you can make money. Providing. It is a part of a provision that assists provisions. Are you with me? And it is a privilege to have a car. It's not mandatory that everybody has a car. It's a privilege. The key of knowledge is what's been hindered. Because knowledge that is understood is truth, and truth is what makes you free, isn't it? Amen? So knowledge is the key that opens deep things of God. Are you with me? Come on, say it with me. Knowledge is a key that opens deep things of God. Why? Because we want to go into a deeper revelation with God. In other words, knowledge will carry you to a place that opens where there is treasure or there's even a deeper revelation of God himself. See, the Bible is a written word, isn't it? It is full of knowledge. Do you know that there's knowledge deeper than what's written here? And it can only be manifested or brought by revelation by a relation. Come on. But there's something that has to happen. He says, all of these things, only the Spirit searches the deep things of God, right? To those who what? All these things are going to be given to you by those who what? Love him. So, knowledge is a key that opens up treasures. Knowledge is a key that puts you in position to get to a deeper, to get you deeper to the things of God. You know, I was in New York and staying with friends and so forth, and there was people that I associated with there, and I realized that they were limited. I realized the limitation of knowledge. And with the limitation of knowledge, you can only go so far. I mean, that's just the way it is. And it's like, you know what? You want to go around and shake people. Tell them, man, get in there and learn. What's the matter with you? Get in there and learn. Get in there. Get deep. Get in there, man. Get in there and learn. You know, God puts things right in front of us where we can get deeper things of God. But we get so caught up in self. And then that spirit of laziness comes and that spirit of compromise comes and says, well, I just don't really need this. Oh, you need it. You need it if you want to survive what's about to happen in this country soon. You're going to need it. In fact, you need it now to survive in this country now. Hello? Come on, they're trying to take God out of everything. They've already succeeded in taking God out of the schools. And they're putting witchcraft. You walk in the front door and they hand out condoms. Come on, they're replacing God with sex. They're replacing the truth with lies. It's happening, man. You cannot ignore it. None whatsoever. But there is an area where you've got to get deeper in the deeper things of God to be able to survive. Or you'll be taken out by the doctrine and deceiving, seducing spirits of darkness. That's why people go to places to tickle their ears. What they're looking for is a place that says it's okay to fornicate. It's okay to have the same-sex marriage. It's okay. Come on. These churches are filled with deception. They are filled with fornicators. They are filled with thieves. They're filled. Even some of the governors and so forth and whatever, legislation. Come on, you're seeing most of them, they're getting exposed now too. You've got judges that are pornographers and pedophiles. There are judges right now. They're getting busted. And when these people come up in front of them that have been busted for a pedophile, they're letting them go on probation on the third time around. And they go out and do it again. It's already here. It's already infiltrated. Now it's up to you to change things. It's up to each and every one of you to change things. It's not up to God. The Bible says that the Lord gave man the earth. It's up to us to change things. Everybody's waiting on God. Oh God, please do this. No, he's saying you do it. I give it to you. You do it. You change it. I've given you all power, authority, and dominion. I've given you wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And every time my spirit walks by to take you to the deeper things of God, you choose to work more hours instead of spend time with me. You choose to do your own thing except mine. And those are people that will be shaken and shook hard. Because it's happening right now. Oh, hallelujah. Proverbs 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Hallelujah! Proverbs 1 and verse 7, would you read it with me? Is everybody there? Please read it with me. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So there's got to be a beginning, doesn't there? And it does not start without fear of God. Now let me share with you what the fear he's talking about. It's not something about carnal under wisdom. It's not about terror. It's not about, oh, I fear God. Hello? Even the Bible says that we're to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Amen? But he's not talking about fear like horror. Or fear when the boogeyman comes out and frightens you. He's nothing but a demon anyways. Amen? The Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. This fear means reverence. This fear means respect. This fear means honor. And this fear means trust. It has nothing to do with worldly wisdom. It means what? Reverence. Come on, write it down. Respect, honor, and trust. Say it again. Reverence, respect, honor, and trust. Come on, say it with me one more time. Reverence, respect, honor, and trust. Now, reverence, respect, honor, and trust equals love. What does it equal? Love. Hello. So when he says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, it means that you reverence him, you honor him, you respect him, and you trust him. Why? Because you love him. Love is not a feeling. It's a choice. That's right. You are in awe of him by the deeper knowledge or the deeper truth. Do you notice that the more you get deeper with God, the littler you get? Why? Because you begin to find out how enormous he is. You know, the more you know, the more you realize what a bonehead you are. You know, the more you know about the things of God, it's like, my God, I'm going to blow up. You can't contain it. Thing is this deeper knowledge of God or deeper truth, amen, can't be put on the shelf. Are you with me? You must use it. If you don't use it, you lose it. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Wow. It's wild. I was driving home with my wife today and she mentioned somebody and the first thing that came up was fool. Fool. I thought, whoa. It's the first thing I heard the Holy Ghost say. Fool. Person's a fool. My wife says, you going to say anything? I said, no. I ain't been told to. They'll figure it out. Psalm 111, 12. Hallelujah. The beginning of the fear of the Lord is the what? Beginning of what? Knowledge. Hallelujah. Psalm 111 and verse 10. There ain't a 12 there. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? Would you read it with me? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding they have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever. Now, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Wisdom. Now, fear is what? Love. Now, what does love do? It seeks, doesn't it? Love seeks. Now, the fruit of love is fear. Wow. Has everybody got it? I'm talking about what kind of fear? Reverence, respect, honor, and trust. So the fruit of love is that fear that we talk about. I'm not talking about the spirit of fear, where the Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and sound mind. I am not talking about fright night. I am not talking about fear of losing, fear of man, fear of not succeeding, fear of succeeding. I'm not talking about any of those fears. I'm talking about the fear of God, which represents love. This fear means what? Love. Wisdom is established by relationship. Say it with me. Wisdom is established by relationship. And puts knowledge in its proper perspective. Wisdom puts what? Knowledge in its proper perspective. As time. In other words, when, how, you know what I'm saying? In other words, how to use knowledge. Or how to use the truth. Why? Because knowledge is a what? Key. Right? Wisdom is the hand. In other words, knowledge is the key. If you look at a key, wisdom is the hand that does what? Goes and turns the key. Come on, are you with me? In other words, wisdom knows when to use the key, where to use the key, and how to use the key. The key does not fit every single door, does it? It must be led by wisdom. That's why there's a lot of people that have a lot of knowledge. But they have no wisdom. It's like, man, how can you know all of this stuff and you're still in that condition? No wisdom. Why? No relationship. All knowledge, always learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. That's why there's a lot of Bible thumpers. They put the Bible underneath their hand, arm, and they keep thumping. I want. Lord, your word says I want. Me. Right? Hallelujah. Psalms 25. Now wisdom does what? Is the hand of what? Knowledge. It's the hand of the key. It tells you when, where, how, doesn't it? That's wisdom. The Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, which is the key. And also says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, which tells you how or where to operate it. That's why there's a lot of people that have a lot of knowledge. We call, oh, come on now. Ooh. I mean, when we were in the world, we thought, whoa, what wisdom this person has. It was useless. You know, man, what a smart person. Wow, carnally minded. And I think about all these people that, some of these professors in colleges, they're so stupid, it's ridiculous. And they're passing it on to kids. They have no wisdom. They have no knowledge. And I'm talking about truth. Somebody tells them something and they believe it. They read about it and they believe it. So they've been teaching evolution. They're willing to fight for it. They're willing to try to, you know, do everything they can. And they call themselves professors. They're prophetic. Pathetic. Are you with me? They call themselves professors. Look at these people who just speak out anything they want. I mean, think about how people speak towards this president. I don't care if he's whatever. But they just speak anything they want. You know why? No, I mean, I'm talking about government officials that are getting paid by me and you. And that are coming against anything that this man is saying. There is no respect, is there? You know why? Because there's no fear at all. It's just like, I'm going to say whatever I feel like. Because there is no recompense. Are you with me? There isn't any. You can just go do anything you want. And you know what? That's the doctrine of Satan. Do what you feel like doing. Hello? Praise God. And Psalm 25 and verse 12. Is everybody there? Good, I'll be right there. Are you all right? Are you getting this? In verse 12, who is the man that fears the Lord? Him shall he teach. Who shall teach? The Lord shall teach. In the way he what? He chooses, not the way you choose. The Bible says he chose you. You didn't choose him. He said he bought you. You didn't buy him. Far be it that we should do things without counsel from the Lord. The secret of the Lord, verse 1. He himself shall dwell in prosperity, and his descendants shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with what? Those who fear him, and he will show them his what? Covenant. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, and he shall pluck my feet out of the net. The secret of the Lord, those are the deep things of God, are with those who what? Fear him or what? Love him. Are you with me? Do you see the connection between fear and love? And he says, listen, if you love me, you'll obey me. Hello? If you love me, you'll keep my word. See, he tests us to see where we are. He wants to know who we really serve. Before he brings you to another level, he'll test you. Now, he may put you in a position to bring you to another level. Are you with me? But it says the secret of the Lord, as are the deep things of God, revelations of God, are with those who fear him. So if you want to go deeper with God, there's got to be a reverence towards God Almighty and a connection and a fellowship with the Holy Spirit if you want the deeper things of God, or you'll never get them. You can go to church all you want, but when you're done, the devil will steal 85% of everything you've gotten. Proverbs 25. It's a new season. Proverbs 25. Everybody there? In verse 2. Would you read it with me? Now, well, go ahead. Let's read it first. Is everybody there? It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but it is the glory of kings to search out a matter. Now, you may think, well, that's kings. Well, who are you? Aren't you kings? Go to Revelation. I'll confirm it. So here it is. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but it is the glory of kings to what? Search it out. Revelation chapter 1. I'm going to back it up with the words so we don't have any movement of error by the spirit of deception. In verse 5, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and made us what? Kings and priests to his God and Father, and to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. So we see here that we are made kings and priests, aren't we? Amen? And we know that a priest ministers to the Lord, doesn't he? He seeks him. And a king is to walk in wisdom and knowledge. Are you understanding this? Why? Because he's to search out the hidden things. A king is a warrior. Sometimes God's got special weapons for you. He's got a special insight. There might be a special something that's going to bring deliverance to you. Special direction, special instruction that must be sought out. But if it isn't, people wander. They drift. And they get led astray by emotion. Once that begins to happen, the spirit of oppression comes. And it begins to oppress individuals. And it begins to tell the individual that's greener on his side. Hello? Hey, come on, it's greener on my side, man. Come on. Yeah. Yeah. How many times have you seen somebody cash their first check and boogie? Hello? They must have thought I was greener on the other side. But they didn't realize it just walked in quicksand. And you will not escape. Are you with me? Amen. What does God want to do? He wants to establish kings as leaders. We are ambassadors to colonize this world, aren't we? Amen. We are to bring the deep things of God to the people. We are kings. You're not only king's kids, but you're kings. Amen? Go to Deuteronomy 29. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 29. Glory. In verse 29. Is everybody there? Deuteronomy 29:29. Would you read it with me? The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us. Wow. And to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. So we know that things that are revealed are secret mysteries that are revealed are called revelations. Are you with me? Amen? Now the Bible says that it's our responsibility to reveal the mysteries of God. Do you understand this? Hello? So if you want to go into the deep things of God, that's where the mysteries are. Deep revelations of God. And he's trying to bring us in a position. In fact, I'll share some of this with you in a minute. But first go to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Look at verse 7, Psalm 103 and verse 7. This is powerful. It says, the Lord, or he made known his ways to Moses. So the Lord made known the Lord's ways to Moses. Are you with me? But he made his acts to the children of Israel. So there was an intimacy between Moses and God. He said, God allowed Moses to know his ways. In other words, his secrets. His special secret character of who he is. But the Israelites saw the acts of God, but they didn't know his secret ways. Are you with me? And this is where God wants to bring us into a deeper things with him. He wants you to know his ways. And when you begin to know the ways of the Lord, you're not asking for anything. You're due intercession. And I've shared this before. It's like when you go to a red light, you don't need to pray to stop. You know, you better stop. And you don't need to pray when it turns green to go. But are you with me? Why? Because you know the way. There are things when you begin to walk with God and begin to realize the revelations and the mysteries of the Lord and understand his character and his ways, that there are things you just don't pray about. You already know. You already know. Then there are things that you consult, even though you know sometimes, just to get confirmation. Daddy, I want to confirm your way. And he does. So the Lord allowed Moses to know his way, but the children of Israel saw the acts. Just because there's acts doesn't mean you know his ways. Just because you get blessed doesn't mean you know his ways. See, because people are still seeking the hand instead of the face. Oh, hallelujah. And Psalm 3, or Proverbs 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs 3. And verse 31. Is everybody there? Let's read it. Do not envy the oppressor and choose none of his ways. Come on, are you there? Say it with me. Do not envy the oppressor and choose none of his ways. For the perverse person is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret counsel is with the what? Upright. Man, you want secret counsel from God? Then you got to get the deep things of God, don't you? The curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the just. Surely he scorns the scornful, but gives grace to the humble. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be to the legacy of fools. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Amos 3. Amos. It's in the A section. Hello? Glory. Should be after Joel, somewhere around there. Amos 3. Everybody there? And verse 7. Amos 3, verse 7. I know you haven't been there in a while. Amos, is that in the Bible? Yeah. Did you ever hear the name of Amos? Come on. He was not a farmer. In verse 7, read it. Sure, the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. To his what? servants. He reveals what? Secrets to his servants. You know that in the Old Testament, most of the prophets didn't even know what they were saying? It was being revealed to them, but they didn't have any understanding. They spoke and prophesied about a church that was coming and a government was coming, and they didn't even get it. They didn't know. They just listened, obeyed, and spoke. Are you with me? And it says he what? The Lord revealed the secrets to his what? Servants. Now turn to John 15. Everybody knows where that is, right? Go ahead. John 15. Hallelujah. John 15. And the Lord revealed his secrets to his servants. John 15. Let's start at verse 9. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you what? Servants. Now wait a minute, he called the prophets servants, didn't he? No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. For all things that I heard from my Father, I've made known to you. In other words, the mysteries. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. In other words, he no longer calls you servants if you are obedient. Now, if he is willing to reveal secrets to his servants and he calls you friend, how much more will he reveal to you? Hello? Go to John 16 while we're here. Hallelujah. John 16. Is everybody there? And verse 13. Am I moving too slow? Okay. Is everybody okay? Are you hot? Whew. Hallelujah. Verse 13. Would you read it? However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will what? Guide you into all truth. And he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. Why? Because he's the governor of the kingdom. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and what? Declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and what? He will declare to Spirit of truth, the governor. He's the governor of the king. Are you kings? Then he's your mentor also, isn't he? And you're only he can bring you to the deep things of God. You cannot do it yourself. Are you with me? Only he can bring you to these places. That's why you must have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. That's why he's called holy. Because he will bring you to the holy places of God. Go to Ephesians 3. Ephesians chapter 3. starting at verse 1. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the what? Mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. In other words, he had been given revelations of the mysteries of God, the deep things of God, and been given understanding, and then began to write them. In fact, if you read much of Paul's writings, which is the letters to the churches, those are all revelations. Those are all mysteries. He speaks about the gifts of the Spirit, doesn't he? He speaks about praying in tongues. He speaks about all of these things that were given to him by the Spirit. He speaks about all of these deep things of the Spirit of God that were revealed to him. In fact, we're going to start putting a mic up here. And as we begin to worship and so forth, and if you get a word from the Lord, you're going to pick it up and speak it from now on. The Bible says that we should be coming together with a word, with a message, with something, a psalm, a hymn, or whatever. I want people to start stepping in and getting out of yourself. So make sure we have a mic that works, will you? Go to Acts 22. Acts 22. Glory. We want to get the deeper things of God, and it's got to be done by the Spirit of God, who searches all things, the deep things, and reveals them to us. Glory. But you know it's going to take a lot of death. It's going to take a lot of death. When he taps you on the shoulder and says, come on, you can't say, hold on a second, I'll be there in a little bit. Because they only tap you so many times. Then I'll go tap somebody else. I'll be there. Let me just finish dinner. Well, you know, Lord, there's a really good movie on tonight. Well, yeah, come on. I got to spend time with my family. Who's your God? Who's your deliverer? Who's your healer? But Lord, I got bills to pay. I need to work those 5 extra hours tonight. Acts 22, verse 7. And Saul became Paul. He was cruising on his Harley. Had 1 horsepower. And he was on his horse and he was going to Damascus, going to chase the believers. And a light hit him. And he fell off, and he says, and I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And so I answered, who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. And those who were with me saw the light and were afraid, but they did not hear the voice of him who spoke to me. So I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, arise and go into Damascus, and there you will be told what? All things which are appointed for you to do. In other words, what did he do? Tap, tap, come on over here. God always positions you before you get the things. There must be a place and position before he begins to reveal something to you. He may bring you to a place you don't even realize it. It may be a job where you're going to. You may go to the labor pool and there may be something there that's going to hit something and say, you know what? I need to seek the Lord on this. It may be something that you heard because you were positioned. But see, the first thing he said was, Lord. In other words, I'm yours. See, a Lord is an owner. Okay, you own me now. The mission that I was on has just been canceled. All of my plans have just been canceled. I've got all of this authority written from all the high priests of the Sanhedrin saying that I can go do this. Well, right now they're been put aside. My plan and that which I've been ordered to do by man has been put aside. Lord, you own me. What do you want me to do? I want you to go to this place so that you can get all things. And then I'm going to tell you what to do. Are you with me? See, there is a place of greater death. And you may be on a mission that you believe is so important. And all of a sudden you're going to hear, and it's not going to be your neighbor. Listen. Come here. There's something I want you to do. I want you to go here. You remember when Jesus told his disciples to go, that there would be a donkey? Amen? And he said, let them know that the Lord sent you. I mean, they just spoke his name. They just spoke his name. And the owner of the donkey said, well, okay. No questions, no nothing. Jesus never met the man. But the disciple was obedient. He didn't ask any questions. He just went, did it. The donkey was given to him, and it fulfilled what Jesus was supposed to do. Because he sat on it, didn't he? Amen. And rode into the town. Oh, hallelujah. Let's go somewhere else. Let's see here. Divine direction is led by the mentor or the governor of the Holy Spirit to bring divine positioning that all things may be delivered to you. Without divine knowledge, wisdom, the expansion of the kingdom of God is limited. Are you with me? Without divine or revelation or all things given to us or the mysteries that are revealed to us, without the wisdom and without the knowledge of the kingdom, things are limited. Its expansion is limited. That's why there's still people who do not understand the ethics of the kingdom of God. They do not understand the principles. They don't understand. They don't get the revelation knowledge and the revelation wisdom. Because the fear of God is not, they do not have that fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And it limits the expansion of the kingdom of God. Because the only thing that they're looking to do is expand their own pockets. They're willing to expand their own businesses. They want to expand everything else except for the kingdom of God. Their families. They want to expand everything but the kingdom. And they say it, oh yeah, 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 yeah. I want to expand the kingdom, right. But let me first fix this. And let me first buy this. And let me first get reconciled with my family. Let me first do this. And let me first do that. But yeah, then I'll get to it. No. You'll never get to it. And you'll miss God. You'll miss the visitation, you'll miss the revelation, you'll miss the impartation, you'll miss the things of God. When he comes tapping on your shoulder, you can't reject him. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Let's go to Ephesians 1. The governor empowers us to do good works on behalf of the government. He calls us to bring kingdom culture in the world of darkness. And the governor, who is the Holy Spirit, protects us from error. Do you know that? He protects us from error. Hallelujah. Oh, Ephesians 1. Is everybody all right? Are you getting this? Fear means what? Love. Love. Fear is love, isn't it? Ephesians 1, verse 3, would you read it with me? Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Now, he's blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places with Christ. Those are mysteries. The thing is how do you access them? You can only access them is by being divinely positioned and being led into these places by the Spirit of God. That's it. So there must be a sensitive to the leading and unction of the Spirit in every area. You cannot be led by emotion. You will always be misled. The Holy Spirit is just not a goosebumper. He's just not joy. Are you with me? He's a governor. His purpose is to expand the kingdom of God, but use you in doing it. If that's how it's done. Remember, all creation and everything that was created, the earth is man's. The Lord created it. He is the owner. But God gave the earth to man to govern it, right? To rule it. To bring his culture, to colonize it. But it's got to be done by the Spirit, not by the flesh. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, the good pleasure of his will, to the praise and the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in a dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him. In him. Would you turn to Psalm 36? Hallelujah. Psalm 36. Oh, praise God. Psalm 36, and start at verse 1. An oracle within my heart concerning the transgression of the wicked, there is what? No fear of God before his eyes. No reverence, no respect, no honor, and no trust. So if there's no fear of God, there's no love of God. For he flatters himself in his own eyes when he finds out his iniquity and when he hates. The words of his mouth are wickedness and deceit. He has ceased to be wise and to do good. He devises wickedness on his bed, and he sets himself in a way that is not good. He does not abhor evil. He does not what? Abhor evil. In other words, he does not hate evil. Go to Proverbs 3. Verse 5. Proverbs 3, verse 5. It says what? Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes, but what? Fear the Lord and what? Depart from evil. You know how many people pet evil? I mean, they pet evil. They don't fear. You know why? The reason why people pet evil, because there's no fear of God. And fear is love. So they say they love God, but yet they pet evil. It's not love. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions. Hello? And with the first fruits of all of your what? Increase. All of your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Oh, praise God. I want to close at Ecclesiastes 12. We'll talk more about the governor later. Deeper things of God. Did you get direction tonight on the deeper things of God? Hallelujah. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13. Would you read it with me? Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is man's all. That's it. Fear God and what? Keep his commandments. For this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. In other words, you're intense. You're intense. Your motives. Everything will be brought forth, no matter what it is. That's why he says, fear me, love me, honor me, respect me, trust me. That's the fear of God. And the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of God reveals the secret things of God. And it's a responsibility as kings to search out these matters. Not just lay them on the shelf. I'm telling you, there's a shaking and it's going to get greater. It's going to get greater. We can't run to places that will tickle our ears. We must run to the truth that will set us free. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word tonight, Lord, and we take this opportunity to ask for your forgiveness in every area. Lord, in those areas where you have tapped on our shoulders, in those areas where you said, come on with me, I'm going to bring you to something deeper. In those areas, Lord, where we've rejected you, far be it that we've done that. But Lord, we ask for your forgiveness and we ask for another opportunity that we may know the secret things and the deep things of your spirit, of your will, of your kingdom, of your heart, and of your way. As you revealed your way to Moses, Lord, we ask that you reveal your ways to us as we acknowledge you in all of our ways and commit to you all of our works. Again, we ask for your forgiveness, and we ask that you would establish us according to your will and bring you all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.